KCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Users of the world's most popular websites and apps couldn't gain access today after Amazon Cloud Services went on the blink. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
The website Down Detector, it tracks web outages, reported issues with dozens of major sites like Amazon, Venmo, Spectrum, Ring, Verizon, Coinbase.
It took engineers 3 hours to fix the issue. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are back in Israel to oversee a fragile ceasefire after CBS 60 Minutes asked the two whether Israel is guilty of genocide in Gaza.
No. No.
Absolutely not. No. No, there was a war being fought.
The Louvre Museum closed for a second day after robbers on scooters pulled off a brazen crown jewel heist. CBS's Liz Palmer from Paris.
The robbers were dressed in uniforms and it's believed high-vis jackets, and they had this big piece of equipment. So they were sort of hiding in plain sight.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health says poor mental health can be both a cause and an effect of absenteeism. Joanne Krulatz reports.
When students miss school, their absence can lead to social isolation, anxiety, and loneliness. And for those with existing mental health challenges, deepen their struggles. Regular school attendance is critical to child well-being because it leads to improved academic, economic health, and relational outcomes over a child's lifetime. Children who attend school regularly tend to be more engaged with their learning, have better relationships with their teachers as well as their peers, and do better academically. Children may stay home because of bullying or anxiety or simply feeling overwhelmed. Evading school may feel like self-care in the moment, but each absence increases the amount of work missed and can further isolate the child, which often exacerbates their anxiety. Schools that offer essential health services at school, those with a school nurse and a comprehensive student services team, can help students manage the link between health and academics. Nurses can provide care to students who might otherwise be sent home. They can also refer students to the school counselor, school social worker, or school psychologist.
A proposed bill seeking to make it illegal for drivers to use devices meant to evade license plate detection systems has passed with bipartisan support in the Wisconsin State Legislature. The legislation would implement a $1,000 fine, 90 days in jail, or both for residents who buy, sell, or install devices that are designed to conceal their registration plates. The bill will now head to Governor Tony Evers for consideration. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
A comeback win for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Arizona, where the Green Bay Packers scored in the final 2 minutes to beat the Cardinals 27-23 here at State Farm Stadium. Matt LaFleur, on a critical 4th-and-2, decided to let Jordan Love keep a winning drive alive with a pass to Tucker Kraft.
For Matt to decide to go for that right there in that situation, to have that confidence in the offense for us to go make a play, and then for us to go out there and do it. You know, that's one of those decisions that, you know, it's going to suck if we don't get it, but when you do, it pays off like that when you go out there and get the win. And then obviously to finish off with a touchdown was huge.
Tucker Kraft had 5 catches for 58 yards, including a touchdown play that they ran last week against the Bengals.
It's a big play within our offense. You know, we're just tallying them up at this point because we run it so often. We know that they know.
So the Packers improved to 4-1-1 and for now remain atop of their division. Tonight, it's the Lions and Buccaneers in Detroit on Monday Night Football with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, breezy with high temperatures in the lower 60s. For tonight, some showers, mainly in the evening, chilly with lows in the upper 30s. Showers redeveloping on Tuesday, mainly in the afternoon. It will be quite chilly and breezy with highs only in the mid-40s. Current temperature is 33.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, October 20th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller joining us this morning as well. As, of course, is, as always, Robin Tigerton, who joins us commenting on YouTube and says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear skies, 31 degrees. It was a great weekend Saturday. I was busy mowing up leaves around Tigerton. And I was washing my winter coats and hoodies over the weekend, watched the Packer game. Today, going to mow up more leaves. Yesterday was Friendship Day, so happy belated Friendship Day. Thank you, Rob. And another beautiful sunrise in Tigerton today. So always appreciate hearing from him and from you as well. Get in those comment sections on Facebook and YouTube and give us a hello as well. Love to hear where you're listening from. I did say it's a chilly morning out there, 27 in Eagle River right now, 30 in Mosinee. The warm spots are in both Amory and Milwaukee at 43 degrees. Oshkosh, you're at 39, and here in the Chippewa Valley, it is 34 right now. A reminder that you can sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, and you can get the weekday version or, of course, on the Sunday mornings. I put together a version that is more about Wisconsin politics, a little national politics. It includes our question of the week, which this week is, should online sports betting be legal in Wisconsin? And did you know that using DraftKings or FanDuel, you know, technically those are misdemeanors in Wisconsin? Not that anybody gets, you know, pinched for them, but there's a proposal for the tribal casinos here in Wisconsin. They have sports books, so you can go to the casino, watch sporting events, and place bets on professional sports, not college sports. But there is a proposal that would let those casinos also have online gambling sites. And so you're sitting at home, you got your phone, and you can bet on whether, you know, the next, you know, snap of the football is going to lead to a touchdown or not. As you can tell, I have very mixed opinions on this one, but we want to know what you think. So to be the first to respond, head to upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for our question of the week. I sense there are no sports bettors in the group here. I don't, maybe Parker's got a little thing going there. You know?
Myself? No, I have friends that do. I have a buddy, actually, who I think has a very good system for sports betting.
He wins every time. Just one more bet.
Bang, bang, yep. Bang. Yep. Now, he puts in $100 on his birthday to his account, and then he uses that up until it's gone for the whole year. Like, yeah.
Or the end of that afternoon, you know.
Well, exactly. So you never know.
It
that's
lasts.
Fair. Okay. If you've got good limits, I can see that.
I know somebody else who that is their the recycling. They live in another state where they can still take their recycling in and get money for that. And it's like, that you can gamble with that. That's it, you know. So it's whatever system works to keep it in check. That's the important thing to know. Mm-hmm. Packers defeated Arizona 27-23. Kristen, you weren't. Yeah, she has her Packer sweatshirt on here. You weren't in Arizona for that game, though. I mean, you were in Mexico City. You didn't like stop in Arizona on the way back to go to the game or something like that.
I did not. I couldn't even watch. So I was like in this long line through customs watching the game cast on ESPN, and my kids were texting me as it was going on. I was dying at the end of the game in that information deficit because there was so much happening.
Yes.
Oh, it was hard.
Mm. But you also missed your cue when I said, so you weren't at yesterday's game, were you? Yeah. No, but where are you going to be for the next game?
Oh, I'll be in Pittsburgh.
Yes, you will.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Only because, but I'm going to be there for a meeting, and it just happened to be the night. Steelers and the Packers and the Aaron Rodgers. I did not. It's like an actual meeting. I'm so excited. And you know what else I'm going to do? What? I'm going to go visit the Mr. Rogers Memorial in Pittsburgh, and I'm very excited about that.
You should be. That's great. You will, of course, be preparing a show that will air Saturdays at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network as well, will you not?
Oh, you guys, it's so good. We shot it a couple weeks ago. It's Fran Hong, Assembly Representative Francesca Hong, who is delightful. She's running for Wisconsin governor, and she is just, her platform is so inspiring. Just to hear her talk about how much she cares about workers and what she's planning to do as she continues to move forward with this campaign and hit every county in Wisconsin. I love this conversation. I think you will too.
Well, funny you should say that, because I have a conversation with Fran Hong as well, right here on my phone. I went to, she was in Eau Claire yesterday, made an appearance, and I interviewed her, and we will be running that tomorrow morning here on the program. So State Representative Francesca Hong tomorrow morning on this show, and then Saturday, an extended interview as part of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, talking about her run for governor.
Yeah, always, so much more.
Always food. Great to talk to. Oh, of course, food. She's a chef. Yeah. But there's nothing she can't talk about, though. Just always a good conversation with her. Coming up in just a little while here, about 25 minutes, we will be talking to Bill Hogseth from GROW. That stands for Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin, all about getting politicians to focus on making healthcare access better for all of us. A very familiar topic to Dr. Lierley and myself, and Selena's done stories on healthcare access as well, the rural healthcare crisis. Maybe not shutting down the government because you don't want people to have affordable health care, things like that. So,
and then lying to them about it. Hey, yeah, not a good idea.
Right. Because it turns out that gets people upset to the point where, whether it's because of health care or inflation or troops in the streets or a whole host of other reasons, you suddenly found something like 7 to 8 million Americans at various rallies over the weekend. And Selena was covering the one in Eau Claire. And what's stuck out to me, Selena, looking at all of the interviews that you sent back to me to edit, and we'll be popping those up on social media throughout the next couple of days here, is, yeah, it wasn't any one thing in particular. It was a wide range. This guy in the White House has done a lot of different things. There's something in it for everybody to go, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, because that's what I went up and, you know, why are you here today? And they all had something kind of different to say. It was really interesting what they came up with. I wasn't really expecting that. And so it was just kind of neat to hear everybody's perspective and what their reasoning is.
Yeah. Let's start with one of them. Sharon was her name. What was her deal?
No, that's her deal. Sharon Clemens is from Eau Claire, and she said, you know, she was there with friends, and I talked to, you know, a few of the friends too, but Sharon just said she needed to be there. So here's Sharon.
We're having a technical difficulty here. Sorry, guys. Okay.
We'll come back to it. We'll come back to it after the break.
We can talk about signs. Favorite sign?
Yes, please tell us about the signs.
Okay. So my favorite sign was, I'd rather be home with my dogs, but I have to fight fascism.
Okay.
Like that one. Uh-huh. And then this one guy, I took a picture of him, and he just had his eyeball peering out over a sign, and he had sunglasses on and a hat. So I just have a picture of him with his eyeballs and his sign. And his sign says, "It's so bad, even the introverts are protesting here." He was really cute. He really, you know, played his part.
Oh, it really was. There, you know, like, here's one that says, 13 years of Christian school, and now you expect me to not love my neighbor. There's this one, stupid, callous, fragile, racist, sexist, Nazi, POTUS. Yeah, that one was a nice That's thing a there. One. Yeah.
I'm Aunt Tifa. I heard you were.
Oh, yes, an aunt. Yes, yep.
She was good.
And here's one. First, they came for the immigrants, and I spoke up because I know the rest of the damn poem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people were definitely showing off their chops there. Kristen, we understand you have to run, but we will be talking to you on Friday, hopefully, before your Pittsburgh travels.
I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, but I will talk to you on Friday.
Oh, good. Well, we will look forward to that. Glad you made it back home for a little while before you have to go jetting off again. So,
I'm a busy gal. There's a lot to do in the world right now.
You know, saving the world takes time. And it sometimes takes some airfare. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks, friends. Have a great week.
All right. We'll see you all later. Let's see. Parker, you want to hold off until after the break on hearing Selena's tapes, or do you have something ready to roll for us?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to hold off. I'm not sure what's going on here. Sorry, guys.
No, that's all right. No, appreciate hearing about it. We were talking about the signs and the people themselves. And look, when I was editing this for Selena, you know, she just sends me these sound bites and says, here, string these together. And so you see one woman, you know, who's speaking very earnestly, and another person speaking very earnestly, and then a guy in a chicken suit.
Yep,
and then a woman in an inflatable cow costume.
You know, I've never interviewed anybody in inflatable costumes before, so it was I got a chicken, a cow. I mean, it was pretty entertaining for me, and but it was very fun.
But you also pre-screened them, and that included asking a series of questions. Do you remember the series of questions? How they went?
Yes, I think it was. I asked them just a kind of a rapid fire, like, do you hate America?
No.
Are you getting paid to be here?
No.
Do you have a job?
Yes.
All these claims. And yeah. Are you a member of Antifa? Are you a member of Hamas? So kind of like that. And why are you really here if you're not all of these things? So
yeah. So they, you know, everybody was quizzed. And again, you can't pay 8 million people to be doing this. And so it really kind of, you know, people were telling on themselves if they were saying these were just a bunch of paid instigators. The Eau Claire one, by the way, four different routes that people marched in, as we learned from Cindy Greening, because one route wasn't enough. You'd start to clog things up.
There were so many people the last time around, they had to make four routes, and they kind of, on Saturday, they set off for different areas of the downtown area. So all at once, all these people in one area of the downtown and in another, I mean, it was just kind of an incredible sight for people driving around downtown. And they really, I mean, I was out there the whole time. And so people were just honking while they were driving by. And then some just stood on the streets and lined the streets. And that was fun. And then in other parts of the city, in the downtown area, people set up little bands and were singing as the marchers went by. It was kind of a festive, really positive day for everybody.
And again, no significant issues anywhere. People came, they peacefully protested, and that was it. And that's how it was supposed to work out. And then before we go here, we just want to acknowledge one of our old coworkers, and she'll like that I say we're going to put the emphasis on old coworker. Judy Clark was honored, my old co-anchor at TV13. Judy Clark was honored at the Upper Midwest Emmys ceremony with an induction to their Silver Circle. It's an honor for broadcasters whose outstanding work expands at least 25 years. And Judy, I believe, is approaching 35 years at TV13, which is weird because you watch and you go, she's not that much older than 35.
But she looks well.
Yep. Started as a baby. She says in the story here, people ask me, does it seem like it's been 35 years? I always say, no, it's gone by in an instant. Selena and I both know that's not true. We've had some days that were really long in that newsroom. But she does say, I'm grateful to have been able to work with some of the best people in the business, talented journalists, wonderful coworkers, past and present, people who show me every day the importance of what we do, why local news matters. And now more than ever, we have to remember that. So keep that in mind, Selena. She said all those nice things about you and pretty much everybody else who she's worked with.
I think what people don't realize is journalists are just really hard workers, and they want to get things right, and they have, you know, the best interests of the people.
That's right. All right, Selena Heller's with us, and we will talk more about people who attended the No Kings rally coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The conservative majority of the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to agree October 15th with arguments that the Voting Rights Act Section 2's majority-minority voting districts conflicted with the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. A decision is expected next year. Chief Justice John Roberts signaled that the court's 2023 Milligan precedent, a very similar case, may not apply to Louisiana versus Calais. Justice Kagan later pointed out that the court rejected several similar arguments by the state of Alabama defending its discrimination. Louisiana argued that the court-mandated majority-minority districts giving minority voters an equal chance to elect the candidate of their choice puts the state in a position to discriminate against other voters. Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett both voiced support for an endpoint to sunset such opportunity districts. The court's Jingles test, used to determine if a group qualifies for such a district, was also questioned by the conservative justices. In her opening argument, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's Janae Nelson said that should the court strike down Section 2, it would be, quote, a staggering reversal of precedent that would throw maps across the country into chaos. There are 148 VRA majority-minority districts in 28 states, according to Ballotpedia. We've linked a transcript of the arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh, as it is Monday morning, the 20th day of October. Right now, fair skies, chilly start here in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 35 degrees. Well, Saturday, it was a big day around the country. Millions of people, upwards of 7 million people, had another No Kings rally. And it was in many, many communities from east coast to west coast, from north to south, and right here in north central Wisconsin. In fact, in a press release, coordinators from North Central Wisconsin Indivisible shared that 1,100 community members were present at the protest here in the Wausau area in Rib Mountain. Our Isabella Nieto and other members of the Civic Media news teams were all over the place during the events on Saturday. And we have a little bit of a report from our Civic Media reporters in Wisconsin Rapids from Saturday. I want to hear a little bit of this sound talking about why young people and old people were out protesting the current administration and what Donald Trump and his minions have been up to. Here's a little bit of what happened in Wisconsin Rapids on Saturday.
Back in June, organizers of the No Kings movement held what they called the largest coordinated protest during President Donald Trump's second administration. On Saturday, the No Kings movement was back in full effect, with over 2,600 events occurring across the country in protest of what they call an authoritarian style of government. Civic media personnel were on the ground across the state, documenting protests in major cities as well as smaller communities around the state of Wisconsin. Protesters who attended Saturday's events came from all walks of life. Civic media reporter Lisa Hale spoke with Deb Fenzel from Oshkosh, who joined the No Kings movement for her grandchildren.
Because I feel strongly about doing this for my grandchildren and their rights. I'm not so concerned about me anymore. It may take the rest of my life.
Many protesters from Saturday's events were also part of a younger demographic. Civic media reporter Melissa Kay spoke with Natalie, a high school student from Wisconsin Rapids, who says that she's still proud of her country despite current leadership.
Don't be afraid to show up and be who you are and be proud of your country. I've had times where I'm not as proud of my country, but I have to remember that I'm not proud of the leadership. I am proud of the USA.
Protesters also included public servants such as Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, civic media reporter Sholly Pittman in Madison.
How are you spending your time? Because make no mistake, our time is being stolen with algorithmic precision.
Many of the protests from Saturday's events also included marches and demonstrations, such as in Milwaukee, where thousands took to the streets. For Civic Media News, I'm Max Martinson. Lisa Hale, Melissa Kay, Isabella Nieto, Parker Olson, and Sholly Pittman contributed reporting.
Again, that was outstanding work by our Civic Media News staff all over the state of Wisconsin on Saturday. And Isabella Nieto was over in Rib Mountain on Saturday, and she reported 1,100 community members were present. And North Central Wisconsin Indivisible said the energy was electric. The chants were loud and the message was clear. We are stronger together. And one comment in that package we just heard from the high school student in Wisconsin Rapids. And one thing that Trump and his allies have been trying to say is the folks that have been coming out and protesting the authoritarian slant of this administration is that they hate America. That's what Mike Johnson said last week. This was a bunch of protests that would be people that hate America. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, could not be any more wrong. As that young lady said, this is not about disliking America. It's disliking certain aspects of what this administration is doing. She said it. She loves America, but hates what Trump is doing when it comes to, you go down the list, it's bombing boats that have no evidence. He says, oh, these are drug boats. He has yet to show any evidence. And I have seen, and I agree, that unless he can show some proof here, he's just out there murdering people. That is not American. That is not worthy of saying, I love what that is. We can say, I love this country, but still disagree that bombing what could be innocent folks, could be fishermen, fishing boats, is not American. So I thought she hit it on the head when it came to, hey, protesting shows love for this country.
It does.
Mike Johnson, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, and the rest of you, not hatred of this country. I think it was great. It was this was an incredible sign of what democracy is all about.
Absolutely. And these people aren't protesting because they hate America. They're protesting because they're against everything that you have done. They don't hate this country. They hate what you are doing to this country.
We want a country that lives to its ideals.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want.
Truth, that is, justice in the American
there
way.
There you go. That's just like Superman for. Says, right?
That's what we're supposed to stand for.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of what was happening around the country. And again, in our system of government, that's expected of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to say what we like, what we don't like. That is part of what the responsibility of our country is, to be active in its policies, and the folks that we elect are people that are elected by the people. Donald Trump did not become president because he decided he was going to be president.
The president is supposed to serve the people.
Exactly.
Not just themselves.
Coming up, bottom of the hour information update included will be the Farm Report and a whole bunch more. Then back to Pat Kreitlow with more Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And we'll be back with the WXCO Morning Report at 7:52. Here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Arbol Show.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO. It's not just the United States that's having a hard time getting product into China. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Canadian farmers are struggling with the same issues. We'll find out what commodities being hit hard. That's next.
Farming has no set hours, no weekends off. The work can feel endless, but wrapping up that last acre makes it all worth it. At Rank Seed, we get it. We know the pain and joy of farming because our family's been doing it since 1846. Our seed will work as hard as you do. We think you'll crack a smile when the combine rolls. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
Rick White's the president and CEO of the Canadian Canola Growers Association. He said, like many other farmers in the United States, they're struggling to try to get their canola back into China.
What's going to be on the table is up to our elected officials. Since these tariffs have come on, no canola has been going to China, whether it's seed, oil, or meal. We know this is a political problem. It's going to take a political fix. We just want to see results and get back to free and open trade with China.
Rick White, he's president and CEO of the Canadian Canola Growers Association. Saskatchewan is Canada's largest canola growing province. They've seen their exports shrink by more than 75% in the wake of losing China as its single largest customer. Markets in overnight electronic trade as we roll into a Monday. Grain trade holding firm. Numbers are next.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese stood still at 177. 40-pound block cheese was up 0.75 cents, 177.5, while AA butter dropped 3.25 cents to finish the week at 159.5 per pound. November class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 13 cents at 16.78. December's up a nickel, 16.56. December corn's unchanged at 4.22. November soybeans up 7.5 at 10.27. July wheat up a penny and a half, 5.43 a bushel. Hey, we'd like you to download our brand new app. The Midwest Farm Report app gives you all the news and information you're looking for, plus additional podcasts and great ways to interact with the staff. It's available for both Android and Apple. Download it. Midwest Farm Report. I'm PM Yankee.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, breezy, with high temperatures in the lower 60s. For tonight, some showers, mainly in the evening, chilly with lows in the upper 30s. Showers redeveloping on Tuesday, mainly in the afternoon. It will be quite chilly and breezy with highs only in the mid-40s. Current temperature is 33.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matinair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matinair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matinair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend. We will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matinair on Air, Jane Matinair. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
In this morning's edition of our daily newsletter, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Gilmore Girls Getaways, the show, which dates back 25 years now, is set in a fictional New England town of Stars Hollow, where it's everything an ideal small town should be. A lively, walkable downtown complete with bookshops, antique stores, bakeries, and others, populated by a quirky cast of characters who constantly come together to celebrate festivals, holidays, and help one another. Well, there are places in Wisconsin that that description fits perfectly. Well, the places, not necessarily the quirky people. So if you're looking for some weekend getaways that are right up there on par with Stars Hollow, learn about it in our daily newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's continue on with our Movement Mondays, where we talk to people from groups that are looking to make a difference and create a movement of people who increase their civic engagement about the issues that are important to them and their hometowns. One of those groups is called GROW, and that is for grassroots organizing, Western Wisconsin. Bill Hogseth is part of that group based in Dunn County, but throughout Western Wisconsin, where we find out about the people they're talking to and the issues that are important to them. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Pat. It's good to see you. Good morning.
Yeah, good to see you as well. For folks that might have missed our earlier visit, let's start by once again describing what GROW is, what it got started as and what GROW does.
Yeah. So we are a homegrown grassroots organization. We started in Pierce County. A few neighbors outside of River Falls got together around their kitchen table, and they decided they wanted more power to shape things in their community. And that was back in 2020. And the organization has grown since then, but we've really stayed true to, like, we are grassroots. We're about regular people taking action together. And we now cover 7 counties in Western Wisconsin. So Polk, Barron, St. Croix, Dunn, Pierce, Pepin, and Buffalo are where we cover. And we really are a very locally focused organization. So we have a couple of campaigns. One of them is we're working to mitigate the impacts of big corporate farms. Another one is we're working on housing and trying to make things better for tenants in Menominee. We also have a whole campaign that's trying to help people get elected to their local governments so they can have more of a voice there. I could go on and on. Tell me, is that good?
that's a very good start. Now, when you say a campaign, you engage in campaigns, what is that campaign made up of? What is it that you're ultimately looking to accomplish or gather?
Yeah, awesome question. Because Pat, I think last time I was on was like last summer, and our members were getting ready to knock a bunch of doors in Menominee because there was housing issues in Menominee. So we knocked on 500 doors and we had conversations with people about what they were experiencing on housing. And it was from those conversations that a campaign emerged. So we didn't just come in and say, hey, we're going to do this campaign because we think we've got all the answers. We heard from people what was the issue that was really biting into their lives. And what we discovered was that it was around people's rental conditions. So after that summer, we had a set of meetings in our community and we started doing research, and we decided to move forward on trying to, like, pass an ordinance in the city of Menominee to bring back proactive rental inspections, because those were removed from cities can no longer do proactive rental inspections because the state passed a law in 2017. So long story short, Pat, is like, we start with listening, and then we have a set of meetings where we engage the community, invite people in to take leadership. And now our leaders are actually at the point, they've had a public meeting with the building inspector. They had a forum at the Mabel Tainter about this issue. They've done tons of one-to-one meetings. And they're now working with the housing committee in the city of Menominee to pass an ordinance that's going to restore rental inspections. And they did a bunch of research. They found that Eau Claire's done this, Racine's done this, Oshkosh, and they're working to find something that's going to work in Menominee. But this issue's been brought forward by our leaders and pushed by our leaders, and it looks like it's really close to happening.
We're talking to Bill Hogsath from GROW, Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin, and that might be the most fascinating, impactful example of civic engagement that I've heard yet talked about on this program. Because we say affordable housing like it's some kind of a buzzword, and it is a very, very real problem. But yeah. So often, you know, you just hear, well, we just need to, you know, quote unquote, throw money at it, make rent more affordable, make it easier for landlords to bring in people with, you know, lower incomes. But none of that matters if these places are falling apart. And so as you're digging into the issue, you're finding out about the need for better inspections, which, by the way, a legislature filled with mostly Republicans who are landlords have so altered the landscape to be anti-renter, pro-landlord, that you go and look for these local solutions.
Yeah, I mean, the point you bring about the state legislature is really important, because the bill that got passed, Act 317, was the result of hundreds of thousands of dollars of lobbying done by the Wisconsin Realtors Association. And then the one in five of the legislators that voted for that bill were landlords themselves.
Amazing.
So it really matters who is in power. And that's kind of like why we organize the way we do. It's because when people are organized, regular people can be at the table. And right now it's our leaders who are working with the Housing Committee in Menominee who are helping to craft this ordinance.
Now, you're also working on the topic of healthcare, which is gets a lot of attention right now, because that is the main reason that the federal government is shut down right now, is this ongoing fight to avoid a massive spike in health insurance premiums. But at a local level, again, is it as big an issue as national leaders are making it out to be? In other words, are they right to dig in their heels and say this healthcare affordability issue is important enough to force this fight, you know, in Congress right now?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely see that it is cutting at the local level. We are a very locally focused organization, but there are times like this where we cannot ignore what's happening at the federal level, because it is hitting so hard in the lives of our people. And our members decided to host a press action about 2 weeks ago on this very issue, calling on our member of Congress, Derek Van Orden, to break the political gridlock in Washington, D.C. Because of how this is impacting our lives. Like Phil Vergis, one of our founding members, is a soybean farmer in Spring Valley. And he was doing the math while he was combining soybeans and realized he's losing $85 an acre this year. And then he's also realizing that he's going to lose the tax credits that that are available to him through the ACA that makes his premiums affordable. And so he's doing the math about what this is all going to cost him. And he's realizing he's, you know, on the edge of financial, you know, precarity. So what's happening right now federally is really, really consequential for everybody in Western Wisconsin. Even if you don't use Medicaid or ACA, this is like has the potential to destabilize healthcare locally. I mean, I already saw like in Menominee, you can't childbirth services aren't available. So it's like the reduction of services, the reduction of staffing. People are going to have to go to ERs to get care. Those waits are going to increase. So this is really affecting everybody. And this, it's all emanating from what that bill that was passed in July 4th, HR 1, mm-hmm. It's not only cutting $1 trillion from Medicaid and terminating the tax credits, but it's also pushing a bunch of wealth upward, and giving handouts to billionaires. So it's a massive redistribution of wealth. And, it's really important that people know that.
Bill Hogsath is our guest from GROW, Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin. You can learn more at gro-ww.org. And another one of the areas that you've mentioned is factory farming. And you had a win recently in Pierce County, town of Isabel, with a local ordinance. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so what's happening there is this was all instigated by a dairy CAFO that was wanting to expand in the town of Salem. It's called the Ridge Breeze Dairy. And neighbors were really concerned. Neighbors who were already experiencing contaminated wells and unable to drink their own water coming out of their faucet, they wanted to do something about it. So the organizing that's happened then has been incredibly locally focused because the state DNR regulates CAFOs only from a water quality perspective. And often these CAFOs just kind of get rubber stamped by the agency. So what we've decided, what we've seen that needs to happen is passing ordinances at the town board level. And we have an ordinance that's called an operations ordinance that says if it doesn't ban CAFOs, but it says if you want to operate a CAFO in our township, there's these set of conditions that you need to show that you can mitigate everything from biohazards to road damage to air quality, and all those factors. And it just says if you're going to do that, you're going to need to show those plans, and you're also going to have some financial surety to show that, like, if there's a spill, for example, that the liability can be handled by the operator of that farm. So we've been working township by township. And Maiden Rock Township was the first place where this was passed in Pierce County, now Isabel, and there's others that are working on it. So we expect many more to come.
And it happens in all sorts of areas. There's a great article in the Wisconsin Examiner about this fight and the work that you're doing, pointing out, for example, 5 years ago, leaders at a dairy falsely told Polk County supervisors they'd be committing a felony if they voted for a moratorium on factory farm expansions. That's not true. But again, without groups like yours essentially acting as watchdogs, the big lobbying groups will steamroll some of these small areas.
And one thing I want to say about that, Pat, is that oftentimes in our organizing on this issue, we're painted as anti-farmer, and which is not the case. We have many farmers who are organizing with us, and often the opposition to these ordinances, like you said, are coming from these big lobbying groups, industry groups that are super well funded, that have their own interests around profit at stake. And so they do things like send a letter like that you mentioned in Polk County. And often at these public meetings in these little townships, they're really the only ones showing up in opposition.
Now, again, for folks that are listening elsewhere around the state, you can learn more by going to Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin. That's GRO-WW.org. But Bill, in conclusion, for people in other parts of the state that may not know if there's a group like yours where they are, what suggestions do you have or advice would you give them?
We do partner with other groups like ours that really that share the belief that organized people is the way that we can build power. And so some of those groups are active in other parts of the state. I'd say go talk to Citizen Action, go talk to Common Ground in Milwaukee, go talk to all the different affiliates of Wisdom, or if you're in Western Wisconsin, come talk to us because I mean, at the end of the day, this is not about which party is in power. This is about whether regular people have a seat at the table. And the way that we do that is by getting organized and acting as a collective.
I'm really glad you mentioned that because at no point, I mean, I mentioned Republicans in the legislature, but the issues themselves are designed to be nonpartisan. I think of all of those county boards that voted for resolutions over the past many years endorsing fair maps. That was not, fair maps should not be a partisan thing. And likewise, all these issues should be. What is the right policy? What is the right thing to do for your area? And Bill Hogseth does that as part of Grow in Western Wisconsin. Bill, we appreciate your time so very much. Thank you. Hope you have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Pat. Have a great day.
All right. Talk to you later. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. It's been a very busy weekend here. It was a good weekend for the Packers. Eventually against Arizona. Some other teams, a little less so. But well, Jimmy will tell us all about that. And upcoming high school football playoffs start this week. We'll be back. You're up north.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Struggling with mental illness or supporting someone who is? NAMI Northwoods offers compassion and support for those affected by mental health conditions. Mental illness isn't a weakness, it's a medical condition. Recovery is possible. Call or text 715-432-0180 or visit NAMINorthwoods.org. In a crisis, call 988, the 24/7 suicide and crisis line, staffed by caring Wisconsinites. NAMI Northwoods, because no one should face mental illness alone.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trig me. She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:52, 36 degrees under overcast skies here in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh, and Ian, we were talking in the last segment about the No Kings rally that were held.
A very important rally, yeah, too.
They were held throughout the country, had 1,100 folks march in Rib Mountain on Saturday. And I came across a statement, a writing, a newsletter that I subscribed to. And during the break between the last segment and this one, I came across and kind of, I think, hit on a really good point when it comes to folks that are struggling with Donald Trump's administration, with the, I think the, I would call un-American tilt to the authoritarianism that we've seen from Trump, especially here in the first year of his second term. I wanted to,
who wrote it?
To share it. It's from Craig Calcaterra. Oh. He does the Cup of Coffee newsletter. It's a baseball newsletter, but it also talks about
life and politics in that as well. So it always starts with baseball, but always ends up talking about some of the things that are going on.
And what does he say?
And he went to the downtown Columbus, Ohio rally on Saturday. And it was a large turnout. About 10,000 people were on the State House grounds. And he notes that having that many people come out on a Saturday afternoon when Ohio State is playing is quite a very impressive number.
I would agree.
But he said, and this is, I quote him on this, he says, "It's hard to say this without coming off corny, but I cannot tell you how good and inspiring it was to be in that crowd. Not because I made new friends or got caught up chanting slogans or singing or whatever, and not because being there made me believe things are going to immediately change for the better, because I know better. No, it felt good because it made me feel less alone and less crazy. I work from home. I'm out in public less than a lot of people. And I spend a lot of my time taking the world in through my computer. When you do that, it's easy to trick yourself into feeling like you're the only one at wit's end.
I know how he feels.
It's easy to fool yourself into feeling like the rest of the world is just going about its business, not caring terribly much about the things that have depressed and enraged you for months. It's an absolute balm to be around a few thousand folks who are every bit, if not more, unhappy and angry and determined to make things better than you are. And when you're among millions of people across the country feeling the same way. That was especially true once I realized that the vast majority..." Hang on here. I lost my spot. When the vast majority of the people there were nothing like me. There were old people and very young people. Some hardcore lefty types, of the sort of which I converse with online sometimes, but way, way, way more normal, liberal, or middle-of-the-road types holding signs that made me laugh or scratch my head. People who wouldn't, to their great credit, mind you, understand half of the things or the people I follow on social media that rant about on a daily basis. But that's good, partially because it means most folks aren't as internet poisoned as I am, but mostly because it reminds me that thousands of people have at least one super important thing in common. We don't like what's happening in this country, and we want to fix it."
A very good article. He makes a lot of a great points.
Because
there.
It does at times. It feels like, you know, you do feel like, especially in this era.
I understand what he's talking about with the internet poisoning. Because a lot of times you go on like your social media or just go on like any sort of internet search and you see all these different opinions and all these different, you know, things that people are trying to shove at your face and make you try to, you know, it's either one way or the other. It's like, no, I understand exactly what he's saying. It's very tough, especially when you're so focused on the internet that you forget it to be outside the computer.
And just another example of why Donald Trump is so mentally deranged. And I know that's rather strong. But Saturday night, after the No Kings rallies, and I have to give Calcaterra credit as well, he used the term Diarrhea Don. Because Trump posted an AI video showing him literally dumping expletive, what happens when you go to a bathroom. But basically, Diarrhea Don showed himself dumping excrement on Americans protesting. It was childish. It's embarrassing that the president of the United States would do that.
It embarrassing. Shows how little class he has.
There is no class there.
There's,
and
you're absolutely right. None.
And it was said that it could be considered the most immature and humiliating thing a sitting president has ever done. Just immature. And again, what happened over the last number of weeks is we've heard over and over again from those megas that this entire operation, the No Kings rallies, were just, you know, George Soros paying people to show up. They have come to realize that was a bunch of garbage. And now they're at a loss with millions of people coming out and protesting this weekend. They know that they are not in the majority. They know that ultimately they're going to lose. And I think Saturday was a great example of what is happening in this country, that people have had enough of this totalitarian, illegal regime that Donald Trump is running. Mm-hmm. And that we are just over a year. We're almost to a year, the midterm elections. And I don't think it's going to go very well for Donald Trump.
I don't think so either.
The time is 7:59. We got an information update at the top of the hour coming up. Then it is more with Pat Kreitlow. And we'll be back at 8:22 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Amazon still tweaking a fix to an outage that knocked out popular apps and websites around the world today. BBC tech reporter Chris Vallance.
Is it maybe an update that didn't work out? You know, that sometimes happens with our own computers, doesn't it? We update them and things go wrong. Or is it something more sinister? We've no evidence at the moment that this was anything to do with a cyber attack.
Federal agents say they found what could have been a sniper stand near the Florida airport President Trump uses. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Sources tell CBS News it's located across the highway from the airport in trees more than 200 yards away. Whatever it is, officials think it's been there for months.
The winner of tonight's Mariners-Blue Jays game heads to the World Series against the Dodgers. Toronto manager John Schneider.
Whenever you can play for Game 7 to go to the World Series, it sounds kind of cool to say it, you know, but this is why we sacrifice everything.
Blue Jays beat Seattle 6-2 in Game 6 of the ALCS, forcing a Game 7. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.